Real people. Real opinions. Real talk radio. The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Show. Classic hits.
Workers must make 40 years of social insurance contributions to get a full state pension and a new plan. This is according to the government. And a draft commission on pensions report recommends that an interim way of calculating the payment should now become the definitive method. It says this should mean that 40 years or 2,040 contributions are required at a state pension age to qualify for a maximum rate pension. However, it allows for periods of credited contributions. In other words, if you're a stay-at-home mum or dad, for example, that you can apply then for what they call credits. In other words, if you're at home and instead of actually getting a payment of social welfare, you can go down to your social welfare officer, into your office, and say, listen, I'm currently at home looking after the kids, or I'm caring for somebody. Can I get a credit instead of a payment? In other words, and that calculates as well. But that would be a limited time, by the way. You can't do that forever. A draft executive summary of the report that has not been yet published recommends that a full transition to this method of assessing entitlements, known as the total contributions approach, should be implemented as soon as possible, pending legislation and IT system changes. Under current arrangements, people can qualify for a full pension after 10 years. The amount they get is based on the average yearly contributions. For those better off with the current method, the report endorses a phased transition over 10 years, and it notes that since 2019, both calculation methods have become available, and the better rate of the two is actually paid. I suppose I want to know today, if you're on a pension, has anybody got a pension? It's easy, if you're in the public sector, because most people in the public sector do have a pension, but those in the private sector most likely don't. To speak to me a bit more about this is Carl Dieter, who's a financial advisor and an expert when it comes to all this. Carl, this new method of, you know, getting a full state pension, this new plan by the government, is it going to work or is it riddled with flaws?
Well, it's deeply unfair to the generation that will have to deal with it. Because previous generations had to make about 10 years worth of PRSI contributions, and now you'll have to make four times that amount. And it's basically what I would describe as the biggest admission of a failed system that we've had since the concept of state pensions came about. The reason for that, okay, is that it really tells you loud and clear that by making such a harsh change, that the system is not self-sustaining and it has huge issues. If you've got to do something that drastic to make it work, then it has failed.
And so are we essentially saying by 2060, we don't have enough money to pay pensions, so we're going to make a radical change whereby you had to have been working since the age of 25 to 65 to actually get a state pension? In other words, we don't have enough money. That's the bottom line.
We don't. And that's the thing, is that what we have is a lowering dependency ratio. In other words, the number of people working versus the number of pensioners is dropping. So at the moment, say we have about five people working for every pensioner, and in the future that'll be down to about three. And that just means that, you know, people nowadays are going to have to pay a lot more in tax. They're going to be giving up a lot more of their income to support pensioners. And then not only that, but they'll also be faced with the reality of themselves not qualifying for pensions without putting in a lot more years of labor and a lot more money into the system than previous generations did. And there's a high degree of what you'd call intergenerational inequality in that. Like, it's really deeply unfair that one group gets a golden-plated system and the other ends up with a trash system by comparison.
Okay, but have we got a problem whereby there's an inequality? If you work for the state, you automatically will most likely have a state pension, which is subsidised by the state and contributed to by the state. And some private companies do it. The more modern companies do it, particularly the tech companies. They will, you know, give you a few quid towards your pension as well as you paying it, and obviously it's tax deductible too. Whereas the majority of people in the private sector, your average man working on a construction or a building site or a woman working in an office or whatever it is, you know, they, and maybe I'm stereotyping there, sorry, I'll do it the other way around, but they won't have, you know, this pension because, generally speaking, they don't have a pension because it's too expensive.
Yeah, your average private pension is in or around €100,000 at retirement, okay? And the average public sector worker has a retirement benefit that's worth about €1 million. So there really is not a comparable space between public and private pensions. And the fact that is allowed to continue is within itself quite a tragedy, because, you know, when you create a protected and gilded class at the expense of other people, That's wrong. And people say, well, you know, we pay for our pensions. The public sector, no matter how much they pay, never truly pay for their pensions given the size of the benefit that they receive from it. So it's a really imbalanced conversation, and it's full of a lot of intricacies. And usually the only people who know how to argue this are economists or trade union representatives. And they make it out as if, oh, you know, it's not that bad. It actually is. And the weight on the system of public service pensions is absolutely massive. We should just say everybody's on the same thing, put some money into the NTMA, they invest it in either housing or whatever. You know, you could match up all
so
that.
So what you're saying to me is that we should have a system whereby your PRSI, which was originally what it was meant to be for health and pension contributions and all that kind of stuff. So your PRSI payment, let's increase it by a certain amount, but guarantee you a good state pension when you retire. Is that what you're saying?
Well, this is the thing. You see, the whole area of guarantees then comes with additional problems. And that's what I'm trying to say is it gets very complicated very fast. Because, for instance, the entire of the civil and public service pensions are guaranteed, but they're paid for out of current income. In other words, we don't have the money there for those pensions to be paid. We pay for them out of the tax take of every year. And that's why the more people we have living longer, the more desperate that situation gets. In particular, as you have fewer workers coming up through the ranks to pay and replace those workers, and yet you've got more pensioners. So either people have to die more rapidly, which no one seems to be in favor of, and I get that, or we have to reform the system. But reforming the system shouldn't only come at the expense of people who are already not in the gilded class that the public sector are in. And this isn't public sector bashing. This is just a simple acknowledgement of the reality of the mathematics that goes into how these things are figured out. And
so what's the answer? Well, then you're telling me all the problems, and I agree with you.
I'm telling you the answer, too. The answer is just to make a universal system where everyone is treated the same.
So in other words, no matter where you work, be you a school teacher, a garda, on a construction site, working in a radio station, wherever you have, or be it a financial advisor, wherever you happen to work, everybody pays X amount of money or percentage of their money per week out of their salaries, and everybody gets treated the same at the end of the 65.
No, and that goes into your own personal account so that you're not relying on the rest of the taxpaying world in order to support you.
But some people are on very low salary. I mean, you take people in retail or hospitality who might be on a minimum wage. They're not going to be paying anything, and they can't afford to pay it.
Well, they actually can't afford to pay because they can't afford to not pay and not stand on their own 2 feet. I mean, if you're saying that for some reason we now have, you know, even with people who are working, a duty of care to give them a greater level of benefit that they wouldn't buy themselves or want to afford, that's a bit of a weird proposition to me. Now, some people will say, well, that's how it should be. That's just my view. Okay, fine. You can say whatever you want. But in my mind, the situation should be as follows.
Okay, before you get to that. So let's take Johnny, who's a school teacher, and he's earning, I don't know, 45, 50 grand a year, okay? And then you have Mary or Johnny who works in, you know, a supermarket and is earning, you know, 19 or 20,000 a year. Are you telling me that it's fair to turn around and say, well, Johnny the school teacher, if you pay 30 quid a week and, you know, take 30 quid a week off the person working in the supermarket, but one can afford it and one can't?
No, well, you see, you do it based on a percentage. So you say to the person, look, we take, you know, 10% of whatever that is, and that goes into your account that's tied to just you. And
then but they're not going to get the same amount of money when they're 65.
Put away more.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. But they're not going to get the same amount of pension when they're 65.
Well, they didn't pay in the same amount. They didn't do the same job. I mean,
But then there's still an inequality, isn't there?
Yeah, that's called the inequality of reality. I don't think many people debate that. Like, there's an inequality. When you're talking to me, you're probably paid more than, you know, the person who cleans 4FM. And I don't describe that as an inequality. You do different jobs, different things, and you're paid accordingly.
But do I deserve to get a better pension than the person who cleans the radio station? I don't believe I do. I believe, you know, when we all retire, no, you don't agree with me, but I believe we all deserve to be treated the same way and get the same amount of money as in a pension.
Let's just go back to my example.
Unless you have a private pension, by the way.
No, but that's what I'm saying. It should operate basically as if it's a giant private system that it, you know, you pay in your amount, and at the end, we could use the money that goes in to invest in infrastructure and housing and all sorts of things and give people some kind of guaranteed return. But the more you pay in, the bigger your pension pot. The less you pay in, the smaller your pension pot. And maybe have some kind of system for the many people in the world who either can't, I mean, they could be incapacitated or something, or there's also a group of people who are just useless and they never do anything right. And, you know, we still have a moral duty to try and make sure that they don't.
Yeah, and what happens to them? What happens to the 5 or 6% who will probably never work in their lives? Or, as we talked
about
earlier,
because they choose not to, or
well,
because they can't?
Well, there are people who choose not to, and there are people who can't. Now, the people who can't due to disability, I'm not including that percentage, because there is a percentage of people, even when we have full employment, who will never work. And so do they end up then with nothing when they're 65? What about people who can't work due to the fact that maybe they're a single parent?
We already have a system of kind of means-tested benefits for those situations, and I would just continue that.
So in other words, if I'm a single parent and I can't work due to the fact that I have three children and it's really difficult for me to get out to work, or I can only take a part-time job, you believe the state should then subsidise that pension?
I think there's an argument for that, although obviously, you know, when it gets into elements of why people can't work, I would also say that there's lots of people who have three kids and do work. So, I mean, I don't think by virtue of having children means that you're incapacitated. In fact, you can't really raise three kids if that's the case, because it is such a big job to undertake.
Okay. Getting back to this draft commission on pensions report. So this, I know Leo Varadkar was the one who kind of said it this morning about having to work for 40 years. You believe that basically this is the government's underhanded way of saying we don't have enough money in 40 years' time to pay
well,
pensions.
Look,
so you're going to have to pay
really
for it yourself.
Clear. The government don't have to work for 40 years to get their pension.
No, they don't.
You get full, absolutely highest state pension in the country because it's accrued at twice the rate of everyone else who works for the state when you're a politician. So, I mean, if you want to talk about the...
No, you have to do one term of office and you're guaranteed a pension.
Yeah, but one rule for them, one rule for us type stuff. I mean, they're the master class of that kind of stuff. They don't ever seem to have to face the reality of many of the rules which are brought in with their, you know, pen and paper. But if you're making people work four times as long in order to get the same as what you'd get today, and there's loads of people who
after
are going to retire
years.
On today's deal, well, then, you know... You'd have to ask yourself, why are they doing that? It's because the system is broken. It's not going to work.
Well, where's the money gone? I mean, there was a point there back in 2008. Well, in 2008, seemingly we had $16 billion sitting in this pension fund somewhere back in 2008.
Yeah, look, the National Pension Reserve Fund has always been like, it's always been there to just, for someone to come up as a hobby horse level of expenditure to do whatever they feel is good on the day. We don't have the money in general because all of this is funded by current taxation versus current expenditure. In other words, you take the money in today and you spend that money today. So when you talk about like most of the pensions out there, when it comes to the state doing them, it's not like they have a pot of cash and that's what they're relying on. They're not. They're simply using the money that comes in today. And the reason they have to make the situation worse and worse or charge people more PRSI or do something is because that money is not going to be there in the future. And because of that, it's got to change.
Okay, I have a couple of questions here for you, Carl, that you might know the answers to them. People are sending them in. Okay, well, I have a... not me, personally. People are sending these questions into you. I have a pension maturing in February. I'll be 50. What percentage of it will I pay in tax?
You pay tax at whatever your income tax rate is. So you'll get a certain amount. If you're, you know, typically pensions have a certain amount, you can get tax-free. Depending on the type of pension you're in, that could be, you know, a certain multiplier of income or a certain amount of fund. And then after that, pension income is treated as income. It's important to remember you do get tax relief on pension contributions. And that's something that should continue. It's a great idea and it works well. And it even helps, you know, people on whatever tax rate they're on. But it doesn't mean it's tax free forever. So you will have to pay tax when you draw it out. So it's more like deferred taxation.
Okay. Another person says, I'm 56 and I work in construction. Is it too late to get a private pension?
A lot of people who work in construction would have a CIF pension, and they tend not to be very generous at all. So I would look into seeing if you have anything there, if you have any pensions from previous jobs, if you worked for large construction companies. And
but is it too late at 56? Look at me. I'm 58 next week. Is it too late for me to suddenly start paying a pension? Well, it's got to be a lot more expensive, obviously.
No, it just means that, like, what it means is if you... I'll put it this way. It's like running a race. And if you give yourself 10 minutes to run a mile or you give yourself 2 minutes to run a mile, there's a big difference in the speed in which you've got to do that. So funding for a pension when you are closer to retirement age, obviously you've got to put aside bigger amounts of your income in order to do that. Now, a lot of people in construction also have like kind of a non-pension pension. So construction people quite often buy property and they can do them up and stuff. So like sometimes people
and
have
it is continue. Just to remind me, but it is tax deductible, of course. You know what I mean?
So, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Okay, somebody else says, I'm a 27-year-old nurse working in a private hospital. I haven't paid into a private pension fund yet, as I don't think I'll be in the job long term. My goal is to rejoin the HSE within the next 2 years. Should I start paying in now, or is there any point?
Well, they could start a thing called a personal retirement savings account, which is a very low-cost, kind of simple, cheap and cheerful pension, and you can take that with you wherever you go to different jobs, because if you join the HSE, decide, you know, did they say rejoin the HSE or to just join?
Mm-hmm.
Rejoin it?
Yeah, you'll get your pension when you when
oh,
you.
Oh no, I don't know if this person worked in the HSE before. Like, if they're rejoining, then they already have a benefit, and you know they could go back in and do it again. But if they joined, didn't like it, and left, that PRSA would still be there, and then they may also want to use a certain thing called an additional voluntary contribution if they join and they want to try and, like, you know, buy back years.
Yeah.
So basically, it's not a mistake to fund for your own retirement unless you know that you're going to die before retirement age, in which case, you know, you're facing a different set of circumstances.
In other words, how can I find out how many contributions I've actually made to date?
You just contact your local tax office. You can find that on revenue.ie. They'll explain it to you.
Okay, so
there's different rules as well for people who, like, worked 20 years ago and things like that, or if you were a home carer. So there's a host of complexity around this, which I think you need to.
Well, there was a whole issue. Remember. There was a whole issue around women, of course, who gave up work to look after their children. You know, who left a job to give up after the children, particularly those who worked, you know, in the civil service, as it was called at the time, the public sector, and not being entitled to a pension. There's a whole argument in relation to that. Do you believe that those people should be entitled to a pension?
Well, I mean,
a contribution pension.
If you think for a minute that I'm going to discount the work of the many mothers and in a minority of cases, fathers who don't work in order to raise families is anything other than stellar, you're barking up the wrong tree on that.
Mm-hmm.
I absolutely think that we should take care of people who put their life work into raising the children in this country. And in that sense, then that would be one of those things where we have to figure out a plan that's fair in that case.
Yeah.
You know, that obviously wouldn't be in my scenario of how I think it should work, people who would be excluded.
So many answers here. I paid into a pension going back 20 years ago for 5 years. There's €4,500 in the pension. I'm not 65 yet. I'm only 61. Can I now cash that pension in because I could do with the money? Okay, so the pension is worth, he's saying, €5,000. So can he cash it in now or does he have to wait till 65?
Talk to a financial advisor because there's certain things about pensions and transfers, and also there can be health issues there where, you know, someone has to retire at 61 and they're saying that they need to. There could be things around that which are more complex than I can answer you on this call.
Okay, and usually when you do cash it in, you probably get less money anyway, don't you?
Well, you'll be taxed as well. Like I said, it's deferred taxation. It's not like you never pay tax.
Okay, so once you go over the age of 65, that taxation is less, obviously. You don't have to pay as much tax.
No, what happens is once you go over 65, if you stop earning, you're taxed on your pension benefits. So like I said, you'll have a certain multiple of income or a certain fund threshold. There's different things where you get a tax-free sum. And then, say, if you were making $60,000 a year and your pension affords you $20,000 a year, well, you're not earning the 60 anymore because you stopped working, so you're taxed on what someone gets taxed at when you're making $20,000. There's also some different things that they mm-hmm. give you benefits on for, you know, certain amounts of deposit interest and other stuff for people who are older. But in general, it's like this. You always pay tax, and it's based on how much you make. When you make pension income, it tends to be less than you made while you were working, and for that reason, you pay less tax.
In relation to other countries, how are we, I mean, are we comparable to other countries when it comes to, you know, pension and people investing in their own lives and their own retirement? I mean, do we do well or do we fall short in comparison to other European countries?
Well, we wouldn't be as bad as the likes of the Greeks who made an art form out of abusing their own system, and we saw that where that got them. But, you know, I think the biggest difference here is, and certainly if you look at Nordic countries, is we make a career out of ensuring that certain people basically pay no tax other than, say, VAT, which is a consumption tax. We make a career out of making sure certain people pay tax and that other people pay loads. And so, like, the top kind of 20% of earners in this country pay well over half of the tax that we collect. And that's a huge policy mistake. Whereas you'll see in Nordic countries, even if you're only earning $12,000 a year, you still pay tax because you're a beneficiary of the tax system. You're more likely to be receiving benefits of different types. And so they really make sure that the people who are receiving benefits are also contributing.
Doesn't that come back to what Lucinda Creighton was saying going back a few years ago with the original Renewal Party? And also Michael O'Leary mentioned at one stage that we need to reform the whole tax system. And they suggested at the time, or Michael O'Leary certainly suggested, that everybody in the country pays 10% of everything they get. In other words, get rid of tax credits, get rid of this idea of, you know, a tax-free allowance, et cetera, et cetera. And just everybody in the country pays 10% of everything they get. Would that be a fairer system?
Well, it'd certainly be more proportionate. You see, it depends on what you believe. Some people, there's this idea called progressive taxation, and by the name on it, you're meant to believe, okay, that therefore must be wonderful. But progressive taxation means that, say, up to 20,000, you pay zero. Above 20,000, you might pay 20%, and then above, say, 36,000, you're paying 40% of everything you earn. So the more you earn, the more tax you pay. And it's even worse if you make that money as a self-employed person, because they change certain aspects of how that's done. And then there's this idea of proportionate taxation, which says, you know, if you earn 10 euro, you should pay a euro, and if I earn 100 euro, I should pay 10. And that strikes me as far more balanced because it's proportionate. But in this country, we only have a one-way system of saying, no, it has to be progressive.
Well, it's a time that we reformed that whole... The system we have is years old, for God's sake.
Well, so, no, it's always time, but there's too many noses in the trough at this stage, and there's too many, you know, vested interest and grievance industry experts who will tell you that the whole system falls apart if anyone, God forbid, has to stand on their own two feet. So in that sense, it's never going to happen in Ireland. It's more of a theoretical conversation because we lack the actual capacity, spine and balls to do anything right in this country.
Oh, by the way, somebody mentions as well, you find your contributions by contracting the Department of Social Protection, not the revenue. They're probably right in relation to that, actually.
They are, actually, on that one. Sorry, I was thinking about your tax.
I probably should have corrected you on that. Okay. Somebody says, I am in public service teaching and 32 years. I'm wondering if it would be a fair idea to also invest in a private pension in case the state tried to take from it as some years ago. Will it go against me having two pensions when I go to draw down on the public pension? Any loopholes around this?
On that one, you need to get a financial advisor and kind of determine when you're expecting to retire and what your benefits are. I mean, because if you're going to do a full service in the public sector and get a full public sector pension, then you should be in pretty good shape. If you have any concerns around that, look up financial brokers. There's a website for that. It has all the various independent advisors around the country. Pick someone in your area and chat to them.
Yeah, but if you do have two pensions when you do retire, you probably are going to get taxed, aren't you?
But Niall, that's like saying if I earn 20 euro instead of 10, do I pay more tax? and the answer is yes, but that's because.
But is there any loopholes he wants to know? I mean, clearly what he's alluding to here, is there any ways of doing it without getting screwed for tax?
Well, the whole pension contribution system is effectively a loophole of sorts. It's called tax expenditure because you don't pay tax when you put money into it. So if you are earning 100 euro and you should pay 40 euro on tax if you get that in your wages, but instead you pay that money into a pension, then you don't pay that 40 euro in income tax.
So you're saving money. So
the entire pension system is a giant loophole, and it's a good one and a valid one, and people should use it.
All right. Listen, Carl, thank you very much indeed, and I appreciate you coming on the air today. Carl
Dieter,
financial advisor, as well as many other things as well.
Real people, real opinions, real talk radio. The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Show. Classic hits.